When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another episode of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We've got another wonderful show with an extraordinary guest who I'm looking forward to introducing to you shortly. First, of course, as always, we start off with our little section from my book, Everyday Awakening, which of course you can find at everydayawakeningbook.com. And we're getting pretty far through it. I think we're probably going to finish up the whole book. I would guess in about 4 more months, maybe 5, but we'll definitely be done before the end of the year. And then I have to figure out how I'm going to start my show after all that. Okay. So let's get to it. So this section of my book is entitled Discernment is about feeling it out. Most people think discernment is making the right choice. We use our logical minds to weigh the pros and cons and come up with the best choice. Yet discernment is much more than making rational decisions. It is making decisions on how we feel about a given situation. Often, there is not enough overt evidence to go in a particular direction. Let's say we just met someone and we think they should be a good person because other people have said good things about them. Yet our impression, for no good reason, is that they are not trustworthy. Something just doesn't feel right. Maybe when we shook their hand, we got a chill. Based on this discerning feeling, we think we should walk away. The trouble happens when we second guess ourselves and start thinking that we shouldn't be judgmental, but should give the person a chance. If we do, what happens? The person turns out to be the creep we felt they were, yet had no backup evidence to prove. Discernment means listening to the feeling. Our intuitive way of understanding that something is off and taking it seriously. We don't have to know what is off, just that something feels off. Sometimes it can be as subtle as an inflection in a person's voice or a look in their eye, or maybe it's just an energetic hunch. Trusting our feelings is the surest way to improve our discernment. How can you use your feelings to improve your discernment? Now, I wrote this a long time ago, and I kind of used, and I probably would switch it up if I wrote this today. And I use sort of a negative case of the idea of using discernment, but the opposite is completely true. And this just happened to me this week, where I had a virtual one-on-one with someone who I just briefly seen at a networking event, and I just knew, like, she was a therapist, and you know, with the work we do, you know, with my wife being a therapist and the other stuff, I just felt like, oh, we should, you know, have a one-on-one. We should talk. And in chatting with her, I found out that we had a whole slew of things in common. And it turned out to be one of my most enjoyable, enlightening, connected kind of calls I've had all week. And I had it because I just got that feeling I should connect with her, and I listened to it. So the same way we should listen to our feelings when something feels off, we should also listen to our feelings when something feels right. And that's really the key to discernment. And it's being able to feel, and most of the time the feeling is in our bodies, to feel in our bodies when something is right or something isn't. And it's so funny, because in the past it's gotten me in trouble when I didn't listen to that feeling, when I ended up going into business with someone who ended up being completely untrustworthy. Yet, you know, oh, he seems so successful, he seems like such a great guy, why shouldn't I trust him? And it's really that discernment, that being able to tell without knowing. And this is the thing that always gets us in trouble, because our society is so focused on facts and rationality and using our minds that we forget we're more than just a mind. We're a body, we're a heart, we're a spirit. We have so access to so much more than just our logical minds. And our discernment is using all of that. And yes, I'm not saying we should ignore our minds. I'm not saying, like, we shouldn't be rational. Yet being rational does not mean we cannot also be intuitive. Does not mean we cannot also show up and pay attention and really feel when something feels right for us or not. And again, that feeling can completely go against what everyone else has said. I cannot tell you how many times people have said, oh, Sam, you got to meet this person. They're wonderful. They're this, they're that. And I hear this from multiple people. And I meet them, and something doesn't feel quite right. But because all these people said such wonderful things about them, I'm like, okay, I got to give this person a chance. And then the person ended up, you know, something being off about them. It's happened so many times. So I guess this section of my book is all about honoring yourself, trusting yourself, even when the evidence, quote unquote, might contradict the way you feel. Trust your feelings. And indeed, you might just find that the more you trust what you feel, and I'm not talking about emotions, I'm talking about feelings in the body. Is it contractive? Is it expansive? Just paying attention to that. But the more we pay attention to it, and the more we actually act on it, and that's really the key, because by acting on it, we're reinforcing that we trust it. Inevitably, in my experience, it just gets stronger, it gets better. And then when we use it, it's more accurate. So that's my section of my book, Everyday Awakening, which of course you can get at everydayawakeningbook.com. That section is called Discernment is about feeling it out. So I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please, you know, if you've gotten the book already, thank you. If you haven't gotten it yet, or if you have gotten it, like maybe you should get a copy for a friend. You know, it could be a very nice gift for people. And again, we're in major book distributors, so you can go to any bookstore, whether they have it on the shelf or not, and say, hey, can you get that book, Everyday Awakening, for me by Sam Leibowitz? Make sure you use my name. And they can order it and get it in. So I hope you enjoyed that. Thank you. And now it is my pleasure to welcome to the show founding director, psychiatrist, and author, Dr. Bernard Beitman. Bernard is a founding director of the Coincidence Project, which encourages people to tell their synchronicity and serendipity stories. His book, Meaningful Coincidences, How and Why Serendipity and Synchronicity Happen, describe their wide range of uses and explanations. The book serves both as a personal guide to using synchronicities and serendipities, as well as an introduction to the new discipline of coincidence studies. Ooh, and this is the first time I'm really hearing about the idea of coincidence studies, but of course it makes sense. He is the former chair of psychiatry at the University of Missouri in Columbia and has a private practice in Charlottesville, Virginia. His manual, Learning Psychotherapy, received two national awards for its unique interactive training program for psychiatric residents. He is internationally known for research in panic disorder and chest pain and has edited several books on how to integrate pharmacotherapy and psychotherapy. The stories in his first book, Connecting with Coincidence, illustrate how meaningful coincidence can be useful in most aspects of life. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Dr. Beitman.
Thank you very much, Sam. A pleasure to be here and to listen to your introduction, because you're almost paraphrasing a section from my book about how to do rationality and intuition. What I would apply what you were saying to synchronicities, to coincidences, is to be able to use rationality and intuition to decide whether or not to act on what that synchronicity is suggesting. Synchronicities are not commands, like somebody telling you to go meet this person, which you're describing about. That's a suggestion that you don't have to really take when you meet that person. Similarly with synchronicities and meaningful coincidences, sometimes stuff happens and it seems like a good idea, but if you learn to trust your intuition, which includes the feelings that you're talking about, which are to me gut, heart, and mind, still small voice, a feeling of love, compassion, and kind of like a feeling you get from your gut. Those are three different aspects of what you're talking about, but you need to learn how, which ones to pay attention to, and rationality helps refine which ones of those sound right at the moment to respond to yes or no.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. So I'm just curious, because I always like to get a little bit of sort of background information. How did you go from sort of someone who is an expert in panic disorders and chest pain and psychopharmacology to somebody who's like dedicating his life to studying serendipity and synchronicities?
I've had a lot of meaningful coincidences in my life. And as you know, and what you just wrote about, all the stuff we do comes from our own experience, and we try to generalize it to other people. So I've had a lot of meaningful coincidences on the football field, playing baseball, and developing the Coincidence Project, and many, many other things. So I've had a lot of experiences with them. And the panic disorder, chest pain thing gave me a research basis for doing research in coincidences. I learned how to do academic research, having 40 papers on chest pain and panic disorder. The pharmacology helped me understand the mind and brain relationship, psychotherapy, pharmacotherapy, and psychotherapy helped me understand the process of interpersonal relationships, which are so critical a part of synchronicity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Wonderful. So I want to dive into that a little bit more, your background, and maybe you can tell us some of the more impactful synchronistic events that happened to you that kind of led you down this path. And then we'll get into actually what the book is about and how to recognize, interpret, and act upon these kind of synchronistic events. Okay.
Excellent.
Wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc, all over social media. And you can hear us on KMET in Palm Springs, California, 1490 on the AM dial, 10 a.m. on Wednesday mornings. So everyone, please stay tuned. We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Bernard Beitman, in just a moment.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business, or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour to Dr. Bernard Beitman, author of the book Meaningful Coincidences. So Dr. Beitman, you mentioned before the break how, you know, as with most things, this sort of passion for studying synchronicities and serendipities kind of came out of your own personal experience. So I'm wondering if you might be willing to relate to us, you know, what kind of things started to happen that sort of made you pay attention and say, oh, maybe I should pay attention to this? Because it's not something that most people normally pay attention to or make it a focus of their life's work.
And that's precisely why I wrote the book, is to encourage people to pay attention to them. I intend to help people see that meaningful coincidences are normal. They're really much more common than you think, but we're not taught to look for them. So somebody's got to tell you, or an event has to happen to you, as you're implying. So the events that happened to me started with when I was 8 or 9 and my dog got lost. I came home. I said, "Hey, Ma, where's Snapper?" And she said, "I don't know. Why don't you go to the police station? Maybe they know." And what a thing to say. And I keep wondering why she said it. Well, I went to the police station. They rode my bike and they didn't know where he was. And I started crying when I left the police station. Instead of going back the usual way, I went some other way because there was tears in my eyes. And I look up and there's a dog walking towards me the way Snapper walks. And it was him. And he jumped up on my leg and as if to say, what took you so long? He had to make four different turns to get where we met each other. I just had to make one turn to get there. So it just, I was a boy who needed his dog, and boy, did I need my dog. And that was one of them. And my father brought Snapper home for me because he knew I needed one. So the next big one for me was San Francisco, 1973. I was standing over a sink at 11 p.m. San Francisco time, and I was choking and I couldn't stop it. I never choked like that before. Something was in my, but I hadn't eaten anything. Something was in my throat. And my brother called the next day. It was February 27th, 1973, and said that our father had died 3,000 miles away in Wilmington, Delaware. And he had died choking on his own blood at 2 a.m. Wilmington, Delaware time. So 11 p.m., 2 a.m., the same time I was choking, he was dying, choking to death. And I tell this story as a memorial to my father, as well as it got me very curious, does this happen to other people? And indeed it does. Mm. This is a not uncommon human experience to feel the pain of a loved one at a distance. And so I gave it a name, simulpathy. And those are two of the many experiences that got me into studying meaningful coincidences.
Mm-hmm. At what point, though, did you actually decide, because obviously you've done many things over your career, what point did you decide, like, oh, I'm really going to make this the focus of my work? Like, not just something I'm looking at on the side, but something that's like, this is going to be the main area that I want to really look at.
Well, it happened that I also was chairman of psychiatry at the University of Missouri. Mm-hmm. And I'd had enough of being what I've been studying, chest pain, panacea, psychotherapy. I wanted to study what I had experienced so many times since my dog got lost and we found each other. I wanted to study it. And the simple way a science to study something is saying, well, okay, if it happened a lot to you and you hear other people, does it happen to other people a lot? So I developed a valid and reliable scale, a survey called the Weird Coincidence Survey, and gave it to more than 1,000 people at the University of Missouri, Columbia, to see if they experienced any of these 10 coincidences on a regular basis, like from no to very frequently to yes, sometimes and sometimes a lot. And we got a lot of people telling us they experienced this simulpathy, this experience of the pain of a loved one at a distance, as well as several others. And some of the more common ones are, and it probably happens to you, I hear it all the time now, I think of someone and they call me, yeah, or they contact me. That is like, that's happening more, I think. I'm hearing that more often than I did 10 years ago. It's not, oh yeah, that happens to me regularly. Another one is being in the right place at the right time to further my educational goals or my job. And that's a very common one too. And a third common one is, I think of an idea and I have it answered by the media, or I hear somebody saying it over there, or I read it in some random book. And these are common meaningful coincidences. So from that basis, I got more confident that I could study meaningful coincidences in a scientific way.
I imagine at the time, this was about how long ago that you started
2006
this?
Is when I first put together the Weird Coincidence Survey. The first papers came out in 2009 and 2011.
I imagine at the time, your colleagues might not have looked upon it quite so favorably.
You know, that's been a surprise. After I published the first one, I was editor of a particular edition of a journal called Psychiatric Annals. Mm-hmm. I got three psychiatrists wanting to use the Weird Coincidence Survey to study people in their populations.
Wow.
So that was a surprise. And one of them was like a guy who studies near-death experiences. And he asked people, before and after your near-death experience, what was the frequency of your experiences of these coincidences? And they all reported that after the near-death experience, they saw many more weird coincidences. So I've been surprised. The most critical stuff I get is from using one of the AI chatbots called you.com, and they get you.com gets kind of critical of it. But
that's funny.
Colleagues, I'm going to be doing a course for an integrative medicine group from Andrew Weil. You probably have heard of him.
Yes.
He's got a big program in Tucson. And next month, I'm going to be doing synchronicity in medicine with his alumni, a webinar. So I'm trying to get it out into medicine, and I'm not getting as much criticism as you might think. I just get people who just don't want to hear about it. But if you start asking doctors, as well as many other people, to tell you coincidence stories, and I bet you got a couple yourself, Sam.
Yeah.
We all experience them, but they don't get the chance to talk about it together. And my book, Meaningful Coincidences, makes this whole murky area clearer, so that when people experience them, they can see the science beginning to grow behind it and believe there's something to them.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I actually just had this conversation the other day with someone that, you know, we tend to be a little shy about sharing strange experiences that happen to us because we think other people will think we're crazy. But then once we do, then like, oh, wow, like I had this weird experience too. And it's sort of like once you make it okay to talk about, then suddenly all kinds of people start telling you things. And it's so funny. I was just talking about this the other day with someone. But I find that it's really true that actually, if you ask most people have had some kind of coincidence, some kind of synchronicity, something that's happened in their life that at the time they were like, what? But they don't want to say anything to anybody because they think other people are going to think they're crazy for talking about it.
And I get to say, I'm a psychiatrist, so I get to decide what's crazy and what's not. And that's the way I start off my book. And with that, Sam, there still are a lot of people who are isolated in their experiences. So I've created the Coincidence Cafe. And this Coincidence Cafe is an online every third Saturday of the month, 11 a.m. Eastern time on Zoom, where we tell each other coincidence stories. So people are just so happy to find us. Mm. And I think that will happen with people listening to us. If they want to find the Coincidence Cafe, they can go to my website, coincider.com, coincider.com, or put my name in the search engine, Bernard Beitman, and I'll send me an email, and I will connect you to the Coincidence Cafe.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, and we'll make sure that you give that out again at the end of the show for everyone listening. We just got about a minute or two before our next break. At what point did you decide you should write your first book, Connecting with Coincidence? Like, what was it that made you say, I've got to publish?
Because I've accumulated so many stories. Hmm. And that book was really a kind of preliminary to coincidence studies. I wanted to see the stories myself and see how I could gather them in an organized fashion and get some idea about why they might happen. So it was a series of case studies that allowed me then to do this next one, Meaningful Coincidences, where I could organize my experience of writing it and hearing more stories. I have a podcast, too, where I interview people about their own stories. So I accumulated a lot more information. and got a lot more input from different people and created the Coincidence Project with a board. We're a nonprofit, so that I knew what I knew. I had it down. I could now describe the new field of coincidence studies.
Oh, cool. And what's the name of your podcast, just in case any of our listeners are interested?
Connecting with Coincidence.
Connecting with Coincidence. Okay, we'll make sure that that gets into the show notes today. All right, wonderful. So we'll take a quick break, and then let's come back and talk really about, you know, the heart of your work. You know, how do we use these synchronistic events, and how do we determine whether to listen to these synchronistic events or not? Because that's really the key, right? We don't have to listen to all of them. And if we listen to the wrong ones, it could get us in trouble.
As you said right from the beginning, Sam, you were on my wavelength. I was on yours with what you read today.
And to me, this is the biggest coincidence of all. I'm just going through reading these little sections of my book one by one since I started probably over a year ago. And somehow the section I read is always so perfect for whoever the guest happens to be that week. And every single one of them always says, oh, I loved what you read at the beginning of the show. It's so apropos for what we're talking about today. So to me, you could go back over my shows and it's like almost every single one. That's one of my biggest coincidences. All right. So we're going to come right back in just a moment with Dr. Biteman, and we're going to really get into, you know, how to really listen and determine what kinds of synchronicities and serendipities we should really be paying attention to. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back in just a moment.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world,
with everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
You may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. I was just checking the live streams. I see loyal listener Patty checking in on the YouTube live, and I see my good friend Natan checking in on the Facebook live. Thank you all for joining us. I'm sure there's many more of you out there. Please, 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 in case I haven't said it recently, if you're listening, whether it's on a podcasting platform to the recording or you're listening live, please like and share the episode, and make sure you subscribe to our channels. It will really help us to raise the visibility of the show overall and get it out there to more people. So, Dr. Beitman, let's talk about the heart of really what the book is about, meaningful coincidences. How do we know when something is a meaningful coincidence to a, let's say, a not so meaningful coincidence?
It's the way you started, Sam. It has something to do with your emotional response to a meaningful coincidence. But let's define a meaningful coincidence. A meaningful coincidence is the coming together of two or more events, usually two, that do not appear to be causally related. And we can't really create an explanation. So your introduction being a paraphrase of my book is an example of that. We don't have a way, we don't have a way of explaining it, but it tells us that you and what you're doing with reading your book have me as an example of being in the flow. And being in the flow is marked by having lots of coincidences. So what you're doing with your reading and with the people who are your guests tells you you're in the flow. So you can almost guess there's going to be something that the person you're interviewing has some relationship to what you were just describing. So when you're in the flow and have a lot of coincidences, then you can say, well, this next one is probably a decent one. But the ones that can't, that come out of like nowhere, that appear out of nowhere, sometimes you can just really tell. Like I needed to have some cash for the coincidence project. We just got instituted at the university at the in Virginia as a nonprofit, incorporated. And there I go to my mailbox, and there's $1,000 in the mailbox for the coincidence project. And I find out the woman's address and call her and email, and we call her, and she gives us another 25. And for us, that was a big start because that's about what we had, and that gives us a year's worth. And sometimes they are obvious. You have a need, and it gets filled. So you don't have to, like, turn to your intuition. But there are some that are questionable. And should I take this path or not take this path, or where what you started off talking about is important to be able to know. So a person comes to my door canvassing for a local senator who's trying to get elected again, and I start talking with her, and I tell her about the coincidence project after we start talking about global warming, and it feels like a good connection.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it is. And right. So what I had to do was wait to see if she responds. I didn't know whether to respond. I find myself sitting next to ex-president of Randolph-Macon University at a lunch randomly. Mm-hmm. And we have a great conversation. But should we go someplace with what has just started there? And sometimes you just have to leave it alone and see what develops. But there are definite times when you meet somebody, and much like what you have described, where it's just amazing that you have this feeling of connection with somebody. And I've had this on the dance floor. I like to dance, and had this amazing connection. We were like on the same vibrational level. It was the same thing. We loved hugging each other. We could just stand there hugging each other for quite a long time. But when her uncle suggested that she live with me because she needed a place to stay, my intuition was, I don't think so. I don't think so. Now, it's hard to turn down a good vibe with somebody and then say no, but the strong feeling in my body, as you were describing, was like no. This and my mind was all like no. So learning to trust yourself is an easy thing to say, It really is an easy thing to say. It's important. It's a first step. But learning what to listen to from yourself, which voice is a good one to listen to, which voice is not. So I'm by the river here in Charlottesville, and I started to hear thunder. And I said, should I go back to the parking lot or should I go back to where there might be some action or something? I was to continue on. So I heard a voice in my head, a voice. It was a voice, that still small voice, saying, go left, which was away from the parking lot towards something else. And I said, why? And the voice said, you'll see. And it's amazing what happened after that. I'm standing there listening to a musician I wanted to hear for a long time, but hadn't seen her and had heard about her. A woman comes over to me and says, I hear you don't have a ticket. I've got a ticket I can give you. Come on in. I go in, I start talking to this guy. She says, what are you doing talking to him? He's my husband. There were a lot of people there. I pick his husband out, her husband out. And they say, we have dinner together. And they say, let's have a book launch party for you. Each of them come up with that by themselves. And that's to say, deciding to listen to the voice and taking a chance. Sometimes you just take a chance on chance. It's a chancy thing to take a chance on chance. But the voice was so funny saying, you'll see. I had to go see. I'm curious.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm curious because I've heard about this. I wonder how much it may have shown up or not shown up in your studies of some kind of synchronicity or coincidence happened and the person listened to it, but it actually led them into something very difficult, challenging, you know, not something they would have chosen on their own.
Right. Some people take really low probability, amazing coincidences as commands. They're not signposts. But right. even then, if you wait long enough, sometimes that awful thing, that awful event, that awful decision you made turns out to have been a really good thing to have done. So you can't tell in the moment. Sometimes it's awful now. Sometimes it's really good later. Yeah. And involving two people, sometimes it's good for one person and bad for the other person.
Right.
And sometimes it's, and that can reverse. Yeah. So you don't know at the moment. Sometimes those awful ones can just be plain awful and lead you down a wrong path. But sometimes those awful ones do turn out to be much better than you think.
Right. Even though they're challenging to maybe get through the situation, where you end up on the other side, you're actually so much stronger, so much better in certain ways, and you've learned a big lesson that you might not have learned otherwise.
Precisely.
Yeah. And so with this new book, Meaningful Coincidence, when did it come out?
It came out September 2022, last year.
Okay, so about 6 months ago. And so what was the real impetus behind this one compared to the first book? Like what is this one really focused on?
I thought I understood the subject better. The first one was more a collection of stories that I was trying to be able to understand the subject. Now I probably have, this book is probably the most comprehensive book on meaningful coincidences ever written. And it's a continuation of what Carl Jung wrote in his monograph. It came out in the early 70s. He wrote it in the 1950s. His was the nucleus of what I've got now, because I've systematized and expanded on many of his observations. This is a statement, practical, as you read earlier, for each person to know these things happen, but also a roadmap for how to teach and learn and study meaningful coincidences.
Is there a way to cultivate meaningful coincidences? Are there things we can do to help to foster that? Or is it just either they happen or they don't?
No. You're, you're, question is right on, and you probably know the answer to this yourself. You can cultivate them, but you have to start with my dog. You can start with my dog. You got to get hit in the face with it first, yeah, before you believe him, or you read a book like mine, or you hear other people's stories. But the fundamental thing to cultivate them, Sam, mm-hmm, is to believe they exist.
Mm.
You have to believe they exist and believe that they can be useful for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And pay attention to them.
And pay it. And that means pay attention to the things that you might not have paid attention to around you. Pay attention. They're out there and they're talking to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. All right. Time for us to take our last break. God, the show goes so quick when I have such fascinating guests like yourself.
Thank you.
I really want to talk about the meaning. What does all this mean? What does it indicate to you personally? So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've been speaking this hour with Dr. Bernard Beitman, author of the book, Meaningful Coincidences, How and Why Serendipity and Synchronicity Happen. And we'll be right back in just a moment to wrap it all up. Stay tuned.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. So, Dr. Beitman, there's so much around this topic. I could talk to you about this for hours. But one of the things I'm always keenly aware of is that we as human beings love to make meaning out of stuff, even necessarily meaning that doesn't always make sense or isn't necessarily there. But I'm just curious, you've been studying this for years now. I think you said you started in like 2006. That's like, you know, over 16 years. What do you think all of these synchronicities and these serendipities, what do they indicate for you personally?
Well, I'm a practical guy. And as finding my dog, nothing's more practical than finding my dog, and that they are continuing to be practical. But I'm also curious about how the world works, because I know I went to some fancy institutions for education and they didn't tell me something. I knew there was something going on here. And I learned more about that being a part-time hippie on Haight Street, that there is, you take psychedelics and you can see the world in a different way.
Yes.
And I saw a lot of synchronicities there. So they're happening, and they tell us about the nature of reality. They're not just personally meaningful, but they're telling us that there's reality out there that we have not really fully comprehend, probably never will, but there's a mystery that that meaningful coincidences help clarify. I say that meaningful coincidences are the mysterious hiding in plain sight. And we got to look at these mysterious things hiding in plain sight and try to see what's going on behind them. And what's going on behind them is what a lot of people say, that we're all connected. But meaningful coincidences show us how we are connected. They illuminate the invisible currents that connect and unite us, not only with each other, but with the plants and animals of this world, as well as to the earth itself. Meaningful coincidences connect us to what's around us. For example, the microbiome in our soil is almost the same as the microbiome in our GI tract.
Yes.
Same micro, you know that. And that's a connection that looks like a coincidence, and we can't explain it. But it shows that we can make some guesses, but shows how we are connected to literally the earth.
Yes.
But what I'm trying to do, and what you're helping me be able to do, Sam, and I so appreciate being on your show, is taking this idea of connection through meaningful coincidences, serendipity, synchronicity, and connect humanity. Help people find the kinds of coincidences that they share with other people by developing an app that categorizes coincidence patterns and putting people together with the kinds of coincidences they experience, because we're all unique in the way we experiencing them. And younger people right there at Columbia University, right around a block from you someplace, are studying synchronicity, and they know it. And what they also know is that us older people are giving them a planet that's in distress.
Mm-hmm.
And we are the ones responsible for it. But the older people are not as driven as the younger people to do something about it, because they're inheriting what we're doing. So I'm trying to get to younger people as well as older people who want to do this to unite as a collective human organism. Because we can be part of one in an organized way and start to mitigate the global warming that we are creating for our next generations.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I'm very happy you brought it up, because it's something that I am much more acutely aware of these days. And a lot of deep thinkers that I follow talk about it a lot. And there's almost, in a way, this kind of insanity of humanity where we're not taking it seriously enough, and we're not doing enough to mitigate what's happening with our environment. And it just doesn't make sense. It's just so like a self-destructive, because whether you believe climate change is caused by humans or not, the kinds of things we need to do that science is telling us we need to be doing, we should be doing anyway. Whether you believe the cause or not, it doesn't matter. These are still things of you know, recycling, reusing, coming up with sustainable technologies and regenerative energy generation, and stop using so much plastic, and stop polluting the air. I mean, it just makes the world a healthier world for all of us. Why not?
Because we don't like changing our patterns of behavior.
Yeah.
And all those things you list, including the insect apocalypse going on right now too.
Yes.
And then other things that I want us to see, that we truly are part of this world.
Yes.
That we are, that meaningful coincidences that connect my mind to your mind show us that my mind is not so separate from yours.
Right.
That my mind is not so separate from the trees that I can communicate with. When we start to not just know what to do, right, and not just know we're connected, but we experience the connection with other people and plants and animals. We feel they are part of us and they are part of us. Synchronicity helps us experience those things. So that's why I am trying to put the idea of meaningful coincidences into global consciousness by having people experience them and talk about them with each other so they can know that our minds are connected to our environments, that we are not just by ourselves, that we can be functioning together as organs in a collective human organism of people working together with what we can do to make, and there's so many people trying to make things better. So we can do it in an organized fashion by recognizing, yes, how we're connected to each other, and that we are connected with each other, and we each have different capacities and purposes that we can unite synergistically, and synchronicity can help us see how those patterns can develop among and between us to help do the things that you are talking about.
Absolutely. And I just want to briefly mention before we end the show, you know, you brought up the idea of psychedelics before and how that helps to open us to it. And it's been one of the things I'm extremely passionate about. I've had many guests, I've talked about a lot on the show, the idea of using plant medicine and what I like to call indigenous technologies that help to open us up and show us that, yes, we have the sensational experience of what it means to be connected to each other and connected to the earth. And that's one of the, for me, what I've seen happen when people engage in these ceremonies is almost always they come out with a greater sense of connectedness to the environment, to the planet, and they do start to live a little differently. They do start to change their behavior to be more sustainable. So that's one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about that particular area, because I feel it can support and feed into, you know, the same consciousness that the idea of seeing all these synchronicities and serendipities coming together also kind of feed.
They're very much related to each other, Sam. And in not just doing it by ourselves, which is very important, and not keeping developing just our inner self, because we have to do that.
Yes.
But also start doing things together to organize. That's what the younger people are doing.
Yeah.
They're organizing, and they use TikTok to be able to organize. And they want to organize, connect, as you're describing, but then do something.
Right.
Do something together from a higher state of consciousness.
Right. Absolutely. And I just want to quickly acknowledge before we finish, I see Miriam commenting on the LinkedIn live stream. I've been having a ton of synchronicities this week, including a very funny one. Miriam, I'd love to hear about the funny one. So Dr. Biteman, I really want to thank you for your time today to come on to the show. One more time, if people want to learn more about your work and get in touch with you, where can they go online? How do they find out more?
If they put my name, Bernard Biteman, B-E-I-T-M-A-N, they're going to come to my podcast. They'll come to my Psychology Today blog. They'll come to my website and email me to get onto the Coincidence Cafe and order my book any way you want. You can get it all kinds of ways and learn about what you can do to think about integrating meaningful coincidences, serendipity, and synchronicity into your life to help mitigate global warming and to feel much more connected with people. It's a lot more fun that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And the website again is coincider.com, coincider.com. And his book is Meaningful Coincidences, How and Why Serendipity and Synchronicity Happen. Dr. Biteman, thank you so much. Thank you for the work that you do. I really appreciate you. It's been a thrill having you come on the show today. And let's keep in touch. And if you have a new book in the future, we'll definitely have you back on.
Thanks, Sam. And look, there's more for us to talk about. So,
yes,
I think I could come back on here and we could still have more conversations. So you think about that, too. I'd be glad to come back and join you. You're a very good interviewer, and I appreciate that very, very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, we'll get you back in. I'm booked up for the year already, so it'll be sometime next year. But thank you so much. So everyone, thank you too to my loyal listeners and everybody interacting on the live streams online. Thank you so much. Please share if you like this episode. Let other people know about it. Thank you all for tuning in. We will talk to you all next week.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.